All right, we are holding on Vav Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top. Fine, Zerachmana. Okay, we were in the middle of a discussion. We started talking about the idea that Goyim, when they bring a korban to Hashem, and Lahavdil, therefore, they kept the same rules when they were bringing korbanos to their getshvid, that they're not allowed to bring an animal that is mechuser eva, that's missing a limb. Other than that, they're allowed to bring animals that have movim, unless they're bringing a korban to our Beis Hamikdash, when then they have to follow our rules and they have to follow our classifications of what's a movim.
Do we let them offer korbanos to their getchvid as it's named
out? No, of course not. There's Shev Mitzvahs Neinoyach, that they're not allowed to worship getchvid. But as a matter of fact, we're going to talk later in the Gemara about Lifneiva, about the aspect of Lifneiva. And that, no, what we're talking about is like this. The Gemara was discussing the question, why should you not be allowed to sell them an animal, for example, 3 days before their chagah, 3 days before their aid, before their holiday? And the reason is because, and whereas on the other hand, with our Yom Tovim, for example, Pesach, you're learning about the halachas of it 30 days in advance. So we said, because we have a lot of mumim that you need to worry about, they only have the matter of mechuser eva. They only have that, so therefore they're only out looking for it for 3 days beforehand. So we were in the middle of discussing how we know that. We said that when Hashem tells Moshe to bring, when Hashem tells Noach to bring the animals into the teva, he tells him that there's two expressions that are used. One is when we call hachai, which we said means behema shachayin roshevayim shalai. It needs to be the animals have the ends of their limbs complete, so they shouldn't be mechutzer eiver. And some of those were going to be animals he was going to be bringing korbanos from. Then there's another expression we said that that the animals have to be itoch with you, which means b'doim and loch, they have to be similar to you. And the last thing we established is Noach himself was not a treifa, so therefore the animals couldn't be. Therefore the animals couldn't be. No. Not treifa as in the opposite of kosher, but treifa as in they don't have some kind of fatal condition that the rule is a treifa will not live 12 months. So that's the definition of treifa is that the animal won't be able to survive with this kind of condition for 12 months. Okay. So the last thing we said was you can't say that Noach himself was a treifa, because then what would it mean? Itoch would have to mean the animals should adopt to be like you, they should be treifas. Doesn't work. So the question is, v'hashtag nafgalei mi'itoch. So now if we're learning from the word itoch that the animals should not be treifa, l'chayas zera lomali, then why do we need? We had another pasuk actually. We had three pasukim rather. We had a makolachai. We said means that they have to be chay in roshei avar in shalah, that the ends of their limbs are complete. And then we brought two psukim to talk about the idea that they can't be treifa. We said l'chayes zera, they have to be able to produce children, they have to be able to produce seed, and a treifa can't. But we said, what about according to the opinion that a treifa can produce children, which we'll learn about the machlokes about that in Holid. So we said, we also have a pasuk itoch, which means they have to be similar to you. Again, Noach wasn't a treifa, therefore the animals can't be treifa either. So the question is, v'hashtad nafgalei mi'itoch, well,
three conditions?
No, so not three conditions, no, so there's two conditions, but we have two different psukim from which we learn that it can't be a treifa, one from l'chayas zera and one from itoch. So the question is, v'hashtad nafgalei mi'itoch, so now that we've learned from itoch that they have to be similar to you and therefore not treifa, l'chayas zera lamali, then why do we need the pasuk l'chayas zera, that they should be able to produce children? Whether you follow the opinion that a treifa can produce children or can't, as the case may be, either way, once you have itoch, then you know already, again, we just established Noach wasn't a treifa, therefore these animals can't be a treifa either. So what do you need? L'chayas zera. The answer is, ime itoch habamina l'tzav sab'alma. Because if we only had the word itoch, we would think that Hashem is not telling them to bring in the animals for the purpose of procreation. We would think that Hashem is telling them to bring in the animals to keep them company, l'tzav sab'alma, just that he should have company. For his honor, for his covet, whatever. So we wouldn't even understand that the word itoch is telling us anything about the qualifications of the animals, that they have to not be a treifa. Bafilu zokin, bafilu sris. Therefore, as far as we're concerned, maybe they could be old animals, maybe they could be infertile animals. Therefore, kosa rachmana zera. Therefore, the pasuk writes zera, and now it's clear that So the bottom line is, therefore, you could understand from itoch, fine. You could understand they couldn't be a treifa, because if the point is they should be able to keep Noach company throughout the whole 12 months of the Mabul, if a treifa is not going to live 12 months, that wouldn't do any good. It would defeat the purpose, because they'd die sometime during the Mabul. But you would still think that they could be old or sardis or whatever. So therefore, the word l'chayas zera clarifies that not only they can't be treifa, which fine, that itself we can understand from the word itoch, mm-hmm. but Furthermore, they have to be capable of producing children. They have to be capable of procreation, and so therefore, so those are the criteria. Therefore, they have to be again chayin roshevar inshallah. They have to have complete limbs, so that the ones that are going to have korbanos brought from them are going to be able to have korbanos brought, because that b'nei noach are required on that. They can't be a treifa, and they also can't be a zokin or sris.
Doesn't it make sense that lachin there? I mean, who's going to, after the flood, produce the For the future generation?
That's the point. That's why Hashem is telling them to bring the animals in. So therefore, the word L'chayas Zerah teaches us they have to be fully capable of procreating, of having children. So therefore, according to the opinion that a Terefa can't do that, automatically, fine, that excludes a Terefa. But according to the opinion that a Terefa could produce children, then it means to exclude other kinds of conditions that could prevent them. They're old, they're infertile, whatever. Yeah. So therefore, so the bottom line, otherwise you could have thought that maybe, yeah, it doesn't matter whether they can procreate. All it is to keep them company, right? Okay. So therefore, so those are the criteria that B'nai Noach need for their korbanos, if they're bringing a korban to Hashem anywhere outside the Beis Mikdash. And Lahavdil, they use the same criteria as far as determining what's a valid korban to their getchkin. So therefore, that's the rule. And therefore, that's why we said you need 3 days, because they're looking out for it during those 3 days. Tosfos also points out at the beginning of the sugya, quoting Rashi, that...
We need less than 3 days to determine that someone doesn't have an edge.
No, of course not, of course. But the point is, during those 3 days, they're shopping around for animals that are not b'chusar eiver that they can use as korbanos. Tosfos also at the beginning of the sugya, by the way, brings something that Rashi says, which is the Gemara began when it started asking why you need 3 days. Is it normal to assume that within 3 days before his holiday, he's already going to be thinking of the name of the Getchka and mentioning it at every opportunity, which is going to get back into later on when we discuss in the Gemara what the reason is for this 3-day period? One reason is going to be in terms of that, because we're concerned that the guy, having made a good business deal or whatever, is going to go and thank his Getchka. And therefore, that's the idea. During those 3 days, you're ready. Like nowadays, you have it coming up to Xmas, so all the goyim are busy talking about Xmas, Santa Claus, and whatever. So in those times, you'd have a similar concept. When it comes before their aid, within a couple of days before it, they'd be talking a lot about that particular getchka, and therefore they'd be much more likely to go and thank it. Okay, but that we'll get into later.
From the Babylonians, Greek, Romans.
Well, I mean, it's talking about all the Ovdavid Azara. I mean, it does, these dinim apply to all different Ovdavid Azara. We talked at the beginning of the Masechta, whether they may or may not apply to the Goyim nowadays, but in principle, they apply to any Ovdavid Azara, regardless what Getchkas they worship. So, yeah, I mean, the ones that we're going to list later on in our Gemara and later on Daf Ches and the Mishnah are going to be the Roman holidays, are going to be the Roman festivals. But later on, the Gemara is going to discuss briefly on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to give a short list of Persian pagan holidays and Babylonian pagan holidays. So, yeah, it applies to all.
The whole sample.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, new topic. Ibarahu. We have to ask like this. We said in our Mishnah, L'fnei Edei and Shloisha Yamin, that 3 days before their holidays, you're not allowed to do business with them, etc., etc. What does that mean? Shloisha Yamin Hein Ve'edehen, or Duma Hein B'loy Edehen? Do the 3 days include the holiday itself, or is it exclusive of the holiday? In other words, let's say if we take as an example of a holiday, if we take Xmas, for example, December 25th. Are we saying you're also to do business with them December 22nd, 3rd, and 4th, as well as, of course, the Chagah itself, the 25th? Or is it you're also the 23rd, 4th, and the third day is the 25th, which is the holiday itself? Which is it? Tashma, Rabbi Shmuel, Mishloish Lefnei, Mishloish Lacharein also. Come, let's prove from the next Mishnah, where Rabbi Shmuel says that it's not only 3 days before it, it's also, it's 3 days after it that are also, says Rabbi Shmuel. Now, the halacha is not like him, but granted, but nevertheless, the fact is we shouldn't assume that Rabbi Shmuel is arguing with the Tanakhama any more than necessary. We should assume, okay, he's adding after the Yom Tov, he's adding after the holiday, which the Tanakhama didn't mention. We'll see, we'll discuss it there, but the point is, that we should assume that the same 3 days before the holiday that the Tanakhama is talking about is the same ones as Rabbi Shmuel was talking about.
For the holiday itself.
That's the question. The Isakadat of Hain Ve'edehen, if you're going to say that the 3 days include the holiday itself, so in other words, again, we're talking the 23rd, 4th, and 5th of December, let's say, for example, then what do you mean? Rabbi Shmuel, Yom Edan, Chashav Lohum Ikra, Vachashav Lohum Vasayf, then what is Rabbi Shmuel saying? So you're not allowed to do the 23rd, 4th, and 5th, and also not the 25th, 6th, and 7th. Why is he repeating the 25th? must be. Rabbi Shmuel means you're not allowed to do the 22nd, 3rd, and 4th. Obviously not the holiday itself, which is the 25th, and also not 26th, 27th, 28th. So therefore, that would mean the Tanakhama. So it would mean excluding the holiday itself. So the Tanakhama would mean the same thing. The answer is no, not necessarily, because I did a ton of shloishal name, ton of nami shloishal akhareim. Once Rabbi Shmuel mentions the 3 days before, he may also be phrasing it 3 days after, even though in both cases maybe he is including the aid, the chaga itself. So maybe he does mean that the 3 days before are 23, 24, 25. And then once he mentions 3 days before, including the holiday itself, then already for parallelism he mentions three after. Yes, he's repeating the 25th then necessarily, but okay. But that makes it easier to remember it three before, three after. It still doesn't mean that he means 3 full days before as well as the Chaga itself, as well as 3 full days after.
3 days.
Maybe it means 3 days before, in other words, 2 days before, and then the Chaga is the third day. And 3 days after, you have the Chaga is the first day, and then 2 days after that. So okay, repeat. But Lifnei means 3 days before, including it. It could be inclusive or exclusive. Yeah, Shloish Lifneihem can mean 3 days before the holiday, including the holiday itself. No, not necessarily. Well, that's what we're asking. Okay, so we don't have a proof from what Rabbi Shmuel says, one way or the other. However, Toshna, come, we'll bring a proof from something the Gemara also says on this later. The Amar of Tachlifa Bar of Dini Omar Shmuel, Yom Aleph, Sunday. Now, it's interesting. So all Gemara just says Sunday without elaborating what the problem with Sunday is. Well, let's finish the sentence, actually. Yom Aleph, Lidir Rabbi Shmuel, La'olam Oster. Sunday, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because of it, you will always be also to do business with them. Because, what do you have, according to it? So that, therefore, that would prove that Rabbi Shmuel evidently means 3 days before, in exclusive of the holiday itself. So in other words, if Sunday is a Goyish holiday, Rabbi Shmuel would be saying, therefore, you're not allowed to do business with them 3 days before, so that's Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. You're also not allowed to do with them on Sunday itself, being the Chaga. And you're not allowed on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, being the 3 days after it. So therefore, it comes out the whole week. You'd be also to do business with people who celebrate Sunday as a Chaga. So therefore, that would show that Rabbi Shmuel is talking about exclusive of the holiday, because otherwise you would have times of the day, otherwise you would have times of the week that you'd be allowed to, which is what the Gemara continues. The very fact that Rabbi Chachlifa Bar Dini is saying in the name of Shmuel that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would come out, if you have Goyim who celebrate Sunday as a Chaga, then it comes out, such Goyim, you are never allowed to do business with them, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because since you have 3 days before and the Chaga and 3 days after, that covers the whole week. 3 plus 1 plus 3 is 7.
See, here we're using Lifneihem as
That's the thing. So therefore, that shows that it's exclusive. The answer is, and that's the thing, the Yisafdaida Chain Ve'edeh, and if you're going to argue that the 3 days include the Chaga itself, no, Ikabav HaMisha Deshori, then it would come out, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would mean Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, you're not allowed to do business with them, as well as Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but Wednesday and Thursday would be okay. The fact that the Tachlifa Bar of Dimi doesn't say that, he says, such Goyim who celebrate Sunday, you would always be also to do business with them, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Mm-hmm. That implies that Rabbi Shmuel means that Rabbi Shmuel was saying his 3 days are exclusive of the holiday. Before we go further, by the way, before we go further with the Gemara, we have to ask, who are these Goyim who are celebrating Sunday? So the obvious thing we would all figure is the Christians. And in fact, in Hagoyis V'tziyonim Aleph over here, it brings from uncensored editions of the Gemara that it's not Yom Aleph, it's Yom Noitzri, the day of the Noitzri, which is, well, it is Sunday, but the point is it's not Stam Sunday, it's Yom Noitzri, it's the day when they worship their guy, when they worship Yashka.
Well, one second.
Now, the Rambam, in fact, takes it that way. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in uncensored Rambams, obviously you won't find it in the standard editions, which are censored, but in the uncensored editions, like Rambam La'am and the newer editions that are coming out and whatever, the Rambam writes flat out, Notzrim Ovdei Kechavimim, that Notzrim Ovdei Avodah Zarah, whatever, Notzrim, the Christians, are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Sunday is their Chaga. Now, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shmuel, the halacha is like the Chachamim, that you only also 3 days before. But therefore, the Rambam says it would mean you'd be also to do business with them 3 days before. Again, you have the different heterim that we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta that Tosfos discussed over there, but technically, according to their all those heterim aside, there would be certain kinds of deal, of business deals, that you would be also to do with them 3 days before. Now, on the other hand, the Me'iri takes a whole different view. The Me'iri says that the Noitzrim over here, yes, he has also the version Noitzri, he lived before Gemaras were being censored, but he explains that Noitzrim, on the basis of Apostolic and Yirmiyah, he explains that Noitzrim are actually Babylonians who worship the sun. So therefore, they make Sunday every week. Sunday, therefore, is their holiday. It's got nothing to do with Christians. Because according to him, as we discussed a couple of times, according to him, Christians are doing shittuch, which is they're combining Hashem, together with Yoshka, Lahavdol, and that's not, he says that's not also for them. Okay. Anyway.
So the fact that we have a seven-day week, is that a Jewish concept that everybody accepts it, maybe except the Russians?
So actually, it's interesting, now that you mention it, the Kuzari writes that this is one of the kinds of things. Evidently, you see that nations all over the known world of that time all had a 7-day week, and he says this shows that you have an original tradition going back to Adam Rishon, that there's a 7-day week, that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and therefore, even though you have all these different nations that have different cultures and different religions and whatnot, they still kept that basic concept.
It's a Jewish concept.
So it is a Jewish concept. Well, so it's a concept that has been before Jewish. It's proto-Jewish, really, and it goes back to when Hashem created the world. But yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, getting back to the Gemara.
You could say that you divide
them up
in four periods.
Yeah, that's some people claim that's the origin of it.
They must have got it from Europeans. I mean,
I don't know if the Chinese native have a 7-day week, but I don't know. Okay. Could be. Anyway. Okay, so the bottom line is, anyway, getting back to the Gemara, so we see by this analysis of what Rabbi Shmuel was saying, that necessarily his 3 days before and 3 days after don't include the Chogah itself. That is why he's saying that with these Noitzrim, all 7 days of the week will be also. The answer is, okay, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel, Lord Kamaboyali, to hang boy again. Fine. If you're talking according to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, there's no question. On the basis of what Shmuel is saying, obviously, yes, he means that the 3 days are exclusive of the Chogah. The question is, according to the Rabbanon, what would be? Do the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Shmuel on that point, or do they agree with him on that point, that it's 3 days exclusive of the Chagah, but all they're arguing with him on is, he says, also 3 days after, and they're disagreeing with that. In other words, again, in terms of the Noitzrim, is it that you're not allowed to do business with them Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, or is it Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday? Omer Ravina Toshma. So Ravina says, come, let's prove from the two Mishnayos from now, later on, or a couple of Mishnayos later in the Perek Gavches, the Eloheine Dein Shal Ovdei Kachavim, the following are the holidays of the Ovdei Kachavim, of the idol worshippers, and specifically, again, we're talking Roman ones, Kalender Strunyer Vakarkasim, which we'll talk about on Gavches, we'll deal in more detail with what each of these are, with what each of these is. Well, over here, the Gemara just says briefly, the Omer of Chanan Bar Rava. So Rav Chanan Bar Rava says, here's the definition, Kalenda is Chet Yomim Achat Tkufa. Kalenda is an 8-day holiday following Tkufa. Tkufa meaning the winter solstice. The winter solstice in those days was December 25th. They had an 8-day holiday beginning then and extending through January 1st. Kalenda itself, the Romans called the beginning of each of their months the calends, and primarily Kalenda in our Gemara over here refers to January 1st, New Year's. So Kalenda is an 8-day period after the Tkufa. Strunya is Shmoni Yomim Lifnei Tkufa. Strunya or Saturnalia or Stavnura, as the next Mishnah calls it, whatever, is an 8-day period before the Tkufa, so beginning December 17th. The Simonach, and the way to remember which one is which, that you don't get them confused, is you have, so you can see, if you look at it, Strunya takes place before Kalenda, because Strunya is at the end of, it begins December 17th. Kalenda begins December 25th, but they're listed in the Mishnah in opposite order. So the way to remember is, as the pasuk says, "Ocher v'kedem sautoni," you made me, Hashem, you created me, the back and the front. So we see the back is listed first in the pasuk. The same way over here, that helps you remember that Kalenda comes after Strunya, even though it's listed first.
The pasuk itself
means that Adam is saying about Hashem, you created me the past and the future. You created my front and my back and my front, meaning Chava and me, because originally they were joined together, whatever. The point is that the fact that the pasuk mentions Ocher first helps us remember that in this Mishnah, Kalenda, which takes place later, it begins December 25th, it begins on the solstice and lasts for 8 days, or Tosfos actually learns it begins a couple of days after the solstice, but whatever, the point is it takes place towards the end of December, right, is later on than Strunya or Stanura or whatever, which takes place beginning about the middle of December. The point being, the point being, the Sakhidat of Hein Ve'edehen. Now, if you're going to argue that our Mishnah means if you're going to argue that our Mishnah means you're also 3 days, but that you're also 3 days exclusive of the holiday itself, well, then fine. It makes sense. And the Mishnah is saying generically 3 days because you always have the same 3 days that are also. And then however long the holiday lasts, that'll be the day itself. So, for example, let's say when it comes to Sarnura, it begins December 17th. So fine. If you know, so you would, it lasts for 8 days, beginning the 17th. So fine, you would say then you're also then the 14th, 15th, and 16th, 3 days before. Then you have the length of Srunya itself, which runs from December 17 to 24. That's all 8 days, and then, and that's all considered as if it was 1 day. You have a standard block of 3 days before, and then you have, in this particular case, you have 8 days after, as opposed to some of the other chagas are different lengths. But
so that opinion.
So that would work. But if you're going to say that it's hein ve'edeha, and if you're going to say that the 3 days include the eid itself, then why is the Mishnah phrasing it in terms of shlosha yomim lifnei, when, for example, the very next Mishnah, or the two Mishnayos later, whatever, when it lists the chagas, when it lists the holidays, the first one on the first two on the list, Kalenda and Srunya, are each 8 days. So then you have 10 days at all. So you have 2 days before, the 15th and the 16th, and then an 8 day period from the 17th to the 24th, because you're including that. Because you're including it, yeah. So then, why is the Mishnah just saying generically that it's 3 days are also when it should be saying, for example, in this case, 10 days are also
right.
2 plus 2 plus 8. Yeah. So that's the question. If he talks about a hein ve'edeha, and if you're going to say that it includes the aid, asara abu, then you have 10 days that are also. Okay, the answer is Tana Kula Kalenda Chad Yomer Udchashiv Lei. Fine, the Tana is counting the whole calendar, the whole 8 day period is counting as if it was 1 day. So therefore, it still works out. You can still say that you always have a minimum of 3 days that are also, namely, the third day would be the Chagah itself. If it so happens the Chagah lasts for 8 days, then fine, that 8 days is also as well as 2 days before it. So in other words, you're still going to have the 15th and 16th of December are going to be also, as well as the 17th being the first day of Srunya. And then you have another 7 days because the holiday continues on for another 7 days.
So
but you can still say, you could still, so it comes out,
plus the eight days.
No, it would be the whole 8 days of the holiday, but the point is, so fine, it would come out to 10 days, but the Mishnah can still be saying three, because in general, that's how it is. You have 2 days before, and the holiday, the first day of the holiday itself is the third day. If it continues on more days, okay, it continues on more days. So still no proof one way or the other. Amar Rav Ashi Toshma, so Rav Ashi says, though, let's prove from the wording of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had started out with Nei Ege and Shalojik Chavim Shalosh Yamin before the aid, before the holidays of the idol worshippers, 3 days.
That's
the question is, V'yisakadat Achein Ve'Ege, and if you're going to argue that the 3 days include the aid itself, Lisni Ege and Shalojik Chavim Shalosh Yamin, then the Mishnah could just say it more straightforwardly. It could say the holidays of the Goyim are 3 days long.
And
because effectively, that's what it is. Therefore, you have that the 15th.
Two,
for example, yeah, you have. Let's say, for example, they have a. Let's say they have a holiday on March on whatever. Let's say they have a holiday on March 15th. The IDs of March. Let's say. So fine. Then the holiday effectively, as far as we're concerned, lasts 3 days: 13, 14, 15. Just say it that way.
By the way, the Muslims have a mock holiday called Eid. So the general
Arabic word for a holiday is indeed Eid. That's they get. They have Eid al Fitr and they have Eid al this and whatever. Yeah, that's exactly the same as the word Eid from our Mishnah. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, let the Mishnah just say straightforwardly that the Mishnah that as far as we're concerned, any Goyish holiday lasts 3 days. The fact that it doesn't say it that way implies that it's not. So you're going to argue, okay, the Mishnah had to say 3 days before in order to tell us not like Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that there's also a period of time after it, that's also. Fine, let the Mishnah phrase it like this. And you could argue the Mishnah is saying lifnei,
right.
not to discuss the question whether the third day is the Chagah itself or not, but just to say it's only before, not after. Fine, the Mishnah could have phrased it like this. Adam shall have the Kachavim Gimel Yom HaFem. The aid, the holidays of the Goyim, are considered, as far as we're concerned, to begin Shloisha Yish, Gimel Yom HaFem, 3 days before them. And the fact that the Mishnah does not phrase it that way implies that the 3 days are exclusive of the holiday itself. So again, in the case of
could you come to me, you say afterwards?
You would think that it could be, yeah, I mean, we have Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that there's a period afterwards that's also. The Mishnah might want to tell us that not, but still, the Mishnah could have phrased it more clearly and said, the aid, the holidays of the Goyim we are also 3 days, begin 3 days before them, and then we would understand that, for example, Srunya, which begins officially, as far as the Goyim are concerned, begins on December 17th, for us it begins December 15th, because that's when we become Osir. The fact the Mishnah doesn't phrase it that way implies the holiday itself begins on the 17th, we are also to start doing business with them beginning on the 14th.
Right.
Shmamina, so that proves it, that pain below your day. New discussion. By the way, Tosfos points out, in that case, then why does, in that case, now that we have that understanding that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel both understand the 3 days to be like that. The question is, Rabbi Shmuel says 3 days before, 3 days after. That's not a problem. The question is, before we have Shmuel telling us that you should know, people who worship on Sunday, you're always going to be also to do business with them, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, because you're 3 days before the day itself and 3 days after. Now that we established that that's what the 3 days means, then what is Shmuel coming to tell us? Of course, we can figure it out ourselves. We know that 3 plus 1 plus 3 equals 7. Tosfos says, okay, the chiddush is, you would think that, maybe you would think, because in that case, we might say, okay, but then you're never going to have a chance to do business with them. Maybe we should be makel a little bit. No, Shmuel was saying that there's no heterion in that. And Tosfos gives a couple of other answers also, but whatever. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Iboilahu, now we have a new question. What is the basis of this that we're saying in the Mishnah, these various kinds of things that we're not allowed to do with them? So again, the Mishnah had mentioned a bunch of different things that we're not allowed to do with Goyim on their holiday or 3 days before. We have Loseis, Veloseis Imahem, to do business with them, buying and selling. We talked about over there that Rabbeinu Tam wants to say maybe it's only selling to them is also not buying. There's also a discussion whether it means, and we'll see, it fits with the next piece of Gemara over here. Are we talking about selling them in general, or maybe we're only talking about selling them something that they can directly use for worshiping their getches, such as an animal? Lash'ilon v'lishol mehen, we said not allowed to borrow or lend to them objects, to borrow and lend from them money, to pay them back a loan, or to have them pay back. So the question is, what is the basis for all of this? Iboilahu. Mishum harvacha, what is the reason? Is it because of harvacha that the goy has now made a profit on the sale? Therefore, now he's going to go and thank his getchka for that. And the problem is then you, the Israel, have been over on lo yishama al picha. You have caused that the goy has now thanked his getchka. He's now mentioned his getchka because of you, and that would be wrong.
Not to make a partnership with him.
That's a different thing. That's true. You're not allowed to make a partnership. That's true. You're not allowed to, we learned in Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to make a partnership with him because then, if it comes that he ends up having to swear in court, he may swear by the name of his getchka. Yeah, so this is another angle on it.
You're never allowed to make a partnership with a goy?
If we learned in Sanhedrin that there can be a problem with it, if it's going to come out that he's going to swear in the name of his getchka. So we talk about in Sanhedrin that, you can ask, does that apply to the goyim nowadays? And, and then Tosfos, I think, discusses over there, they swear maybe in the name of their saints. But fine, they swear by saint, whatever. Fine, that's different. Their saints are not actual Avodah Zarah. But when you have, back in the old days, when they worshipped, when they worshipped Mars or Jupiter and whatever else, yeah, they might go and swear by Mars or whatever, and then you would be over.
What did we say?
We learned about it in Sanhedrin. That for that reason, you shouldn't make a partnership with a guy unless you can make sure that he's not gonna swear like that.
To who is he going to swear?
In Beis Din, in court, whatever. If you have to go to court and he has to swear, the guy should court. What do you mean? You're allowed to take her. If you have a goyish partner, you're allowed to take him to a goyish.
No. In court, you're not allowed to swear by a getchka.
Not allowed to, but the goy is going to swear by his getchka.
Anybody is not allowed in court to swear by a getchka. It's not true.
Hold on. If a Yid joins in a partnership together with a Greek or
right.
a Roman,
right?
Hello. He joins in a partnership with a Roman who worships Mars, let's say, and they end up in a goyish court. And the goyish court says to the goy, yes. "I want you to swear to the truth of what you're saying." He's going to say, I swear by Mars that blah, blah, blah. So then you caused him to swear in the name of his getchka, and that would be wrong. So our Gemara is taking a different angle on it, but by the same logic, you're going to make him go and thank who you're going to go and make him thank Mars or what have you for, yeah, okay. So that's Mishum Harvaka. Or maybe, is it the problem that you're putting a stumbling block in front of the blind? In other words, what are you doing? You're selling him an animal. He's going to end up bringing it as a korban to his getchka, and that is he's being over on one of his sheva mitzvahs. Now, it is true, Rashi said, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, mm-hmm. we learned in the Agadah over there about Hashem judging the nations. We said, Oban v'itiram lahem, that Hashem was mat through them, the Shem v'tis menoyah. Doesn't mean that they're completely mutter. The fact of the matter is, they're still going to be held responsible for not keeping them. All it means, we said over there, is they don't get the same schar as they would have, if they do keep them, they don't get the same schar as they would have for keeping them because Hashem said so. But nevertheless, the point is, therefore, you, Yid, you're selling an animal to this goy who is now going to be makir with it, to his getchka. You're making it possible for him to do an avera. So that's lifnei yevilosit and miksha.
You're not obligated for the to.
Ah, why ever not? When it comes to lifnei yevilosit and miksha, that doesn't apply. There is a different issue of misayeya. We'll talk about soon whether misayeya applies to goyim or not to help them do. There's two related issues. There's lifnei yevil and there's misayeya. We'll get as we go through the sugya. We'll deal with the difference between those. But wait. Okay, so those are the two possibilities. Is it the problem of halvacha, or is it lifnei v'leisit and michshol? And by the way, again, at the beginning of the... Well, yeah. Well, it could be one or the other. Yeah, I mean, the thing is also, by the way, Mefarshim point out, you can't say that... If you can't, now, we know that for a Jew to mention or to mention a getchka or to thank it or whatever would be also. So why aren't we saying that it's lifnei yevil, just the fact that you're making the goy, that you're bringing about that the goy will thank his idol? So some of the poskim, the Bach and the Bach and the Shach, I think, talk about the fact that there's a machlokas between them and the Taz. You have two positions that are, I don't remember now which one says which. But one of them is that, I think the Bach and the Shach take the view, since it's only a lab for a Yid, then it's okay for a Ben Noyach. So the only things that are also for a Ben Noyach are things that for a Yid would actually be Chayav Misa. So things that are only also by a lab for a Yid are mutter to a Ben Noyach. So a Ben Noyach would be allowed to thank his Getchka. You can't say that you're doing lifnei yevil by making him do that. However, you're causing lo yishama al picha, that because of you he's thanking that Getchka. The Taz disagrees with that, and the Taz just says no. There's a more practical fact. There's the fact the Gemara is going to talk about soon that lifnei yevil only applies that lifnei yevil applies only when the other person couldn't have done the avera without you. Here, there's nothing preventing the goy from thanking his getchka without your involvement. So it's different than selling him an animal, for example, which, as the Gemara is going to discuss, if he doesn't have another animal available, then that's direct lifnei yevil.
What if you do a business deal with him and it's fat family ends up cursing his getchka? He's got good.
Well, okay, but you don't know that that's going to happen. I mean, however, with that said, though, we did talk about at the beginning of the Masechta, Tosfos discussed over there the question: are we talking about that it's only selling them something which is also because then they can use that for worshipping their getchka, or maybe even specifically it's only selling them animals or other things like that they can actually use for worship, or is it also buying things from them because they're going to be happy about that they have this new object, they have this shiny new object, and they're going to go, yeah. So the Gemara says, "L'may nakamina? What's the practical difference between these two reasons, harvacha, that the goy is going to thank his getchka, or lifnei yevil?" The answer is, "The islay behemel l'didei." What if the goy has an animal of his own already? So he already has an animal that he's able to bring as a carbon. Iyam et mishum harvacha. If you're going to say the problem is harvacha, that he's going to thank his getchka, okay, hakam arvachle. He has a benefit. So he still does have something to go and thank his getchka for. You're causing lo yishama al picha, and that would be a problem.
So
he's buying another one, so not necessarily, so fine. He could end up using the one that you sold him for a carbon, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. He could equally well have used the one he had already. If you're going to say the problem is lifnei yevil, well, he has an animal of his own, so therefore, so you're not making it possible for him to do the avera of avodah zarah. He's perfectly capable of doing it with his own animal already. Therefore, you're not causing him any lifnei yevil.
May not.
Right. Okay. The question is, v'hatanya, but we learn in a braisa, omer of nothing. How do we know that a person should not hand a cup of wine to a nazir? Because he may drink it. The evim and achai of nenayach, and he's not allowed to pass over
an evim and achai to a ben noyach, where a ben noyach, one of the things that they're offered to eat is evim and achai, it's one of their seven mitzvahs.
Talmud lomer v'lifnei yevil loy titen michshol. Now, v'chore, in this case, that Rav Nosson is talking about, on the face of it, if you don't give it to him, shakle yihu, he could just as well take the cup of wine or the eva menachai, and yet v'ka'avol mishum lifnei yevil loy titen michshol, and yet Rav Nosson is telling us that if you hand it to him, you are over. So that being the case, then who cares if he has an animal of his own? The fact that you're making him available an animal, which he can now go and use to sacrifice to his Getchka, on the face of it, based on what Rav Nosson says, it should be Lifneiver. That's the question. Well, that's the question. So before we get to the answer, by the way, Tosfos points out an interesting thing. Why of all the possible Isurim, why are we mentioning of all things giving a cup of wine to a Nazir? You could just as well mention giving a piece of tray for meat to a Yid, whatever. So Tosfos says that actually the reason why it mentions it is because a lot of people drink wine. So like this, if you give a Nazir a cup of wine, he's very likely to drink it because just he forgets that it's also to him. Or another collection of Tosfos called Tosfos Rabbeinu Achanan says maybe specifically we're talking about a Nazir over here who is a habitual drinker, or at least was before he became a Nazir, so therefore there's more reason to be concerned that he may want to drink this one. When it comes to, let's say, a Yid tells you, give me this piece of Nevela or Chazer or whatever, there's not reason to be concerned necessarily that he's going to eat it. If he says, give it to me in order that I should eat it, that would be a problem. But if he just says, give me the piece of Nevela, for example, that wouldn't be such an issue. He may mean, give it to me so I can feed it to my dog or whatever. Yeah. Which Tosfos says, by the way, based on that, it would mean that you shouldn't be allowed to give it to a Meshumad, because then we can assume that he's going to eat it. However, still, Tosfos says that only applies if, as the Gemara is going to say now, only if he wouldn't have been able to get to it by himself. What the Gemara is going to now call the Tre Evrei Nara, they're on the other side of the river. That's the answer in the Gemara. Going back to the Gemara, Hochab Mayaskin and Dekoy Betre Evrei Nara. The case that Rav Nosson is talking about, that it would be Lifnei Iver, is where they're on two sides of the river. So you're on one side, the Nazir is on the other side, and you have the cup of wine with you, or you're on one side, the Goy is on the other side, and the Edom and Achai is with you. If you hand it to him, he couldn't have gotten it by himself. Therefore, you are being over on Lifnei Iver because he couldn't have done the Aveda without you. As opposed to if he's on the same side of the river as you. There wasn't anybody, if we're talking about assuming there wasn't anybody else available. We're using Tre Evrei Nara as an example. The point is that whether somebody else could have done it, whether that's considered Lifnei Iver is another muscle like this, that the Gemara is not getting into that over here. But the point is, if you're the one making it possible for him to do the Aveda, where without your involvement he couldn't have done it, that's Lifnei Iver. But if you're on the same side of the river, where therefore he could have just as well done it, he could have just as well gotten it on his own, then it's not Lifnei Iver. So therefore, so again, when the guy has an animal of his own that he could have brought as a korban to his getchka, there's no lifneiver, because he could have just as well used his own animal. Right. So therefore, that's what we were saying before. So if he doesn't have an animal, that's tre evrei nara, that you're making it possible for him to do an iser, which otherwise he wouldn't have been able to do. But if he has an animal of his own, then there's not that. Right. Then you have the question, then is there still the issue of harvacha, the fact that he's going to go thank his getchka? So now, by the way, with that said, by the way, so the Gemara is not really getting into further details over here. Just the Gemara mentions, by the way, Dekanami. We can also prove that from Rav Nosson's wording. Katani lo yoshit. The Braisa, Rav Nosson, used the expression lo yoshit. You shouldn't hand it to him. Handing it to, yoshit actually means passing it across. So therefore, passing it across implies that it's across, like across the river or whatever. But like Katani lo yitin, the expression wasn't you shouldn't give it to him, implying that he's standing right next to you and you give it to him. The expression was lo yoshit, like handing it across, passing it across the river where he couldn't have gotten it. Shmamino, so that shows that that's a valid distinction, whether it's on the same side or two different sides. Actually, it's interesting. Rabbi Hanano has a different understanding of the two sides versus one side. He says the vote is that if you are on opposite sides of the river, if you're on opposite sides of the river, the guy has no way of forcing you to give him the Avim and Achai. The Nazir has no way of forcing you to give him the cup of wine. You're doing it willingly. As opposed to if he's on the same side of the river, he's capable of forcing you to give it to him.
Well, even across the river, if he has a gun.
If he has a gun, fine. But we're talking about using the technology of those days. They didn't have guns.
Arrows.
Yeah, fine. Okay. So he doesn't have, whatever.
No arrows.
The point,
no arrows, no guns.
Okay. The point is it's a wide enough river that he wouldn't be able to shoot straight. Come on, whatever. You get the idea. Yeah. The point is that that's Rabbi Hananel's understanding of it. Anyway, everybody else understands it differently. With that said, by the way, The Rishonim talk about, even where you don't have the issue of Lifnei Iver, because as the Gemara is saying over here, you're on the same side of the river, and the guy could have just gotten himself, there can be another issue, which we just mentioned briefly, called Maseyeya Yidei Over Aveda, that you're helping somebody else to do an Aveda. And that's also on a different ground. That's not necessarily, they discuss, is that also Daraisa, or maybe it's only also Darabanan, as a matter of that you're obligated to be Moiche, you're not allowed to what?
Different.
No, so actually, so it's you have a Machloikas Rishonim about, in particular, you have a Machloikas Rishonim about the parameters of when Messiah applies and when it doesn't. The Ramah understands it to be an actual Machloikas. The Shach understands that, no, what the Rishonim are saying, the Shach says, is with a Yid, with a fellow Yid, you have an issue of Messiah, even where there's no issue of Lifneiver. With a Goy, you don't. So therefore, that fits more easily with our Gemara over here. That with the Goy, you don't have an issue of Messiah if he has an animal of his own, because Messiah isn't an issue with a Goy, and he doesn't need you to do the Aveira. He's capable of doing it himself with his own animal. Whereas if it was a Yid, you would be also on the grounds of Messiah, for example, to give a cup of wine to another, even if he could easily get the wine himself. The Shach goes on to say then, again, with what Tosfos mentioned about an issue with a mummer, the Shach wants to say that maybe the concept of Messiah being Osir doesn't apply to a mummer either, to a Meshumim. There is, by the way, the argument is that he's kind of excluded himself from like this. Messiah would be the issue of Messiah, the Shach learns, would be when the person knows that this is wrong, but then you're still making it easier for him to do the Aveira when he could have just as well done it himself. But a Meshumet is not in that category because he knows full well that it's wrong.
Doesn't mean you should encourage him,
but the Shach learns that there's no issue of Messiah with that. There is, by the way, I mean, there's a lot more that we could talk about, except we don't really have the time, but there is a lot of discussion in Halacha about all the different detailed parameters of Lifneiver. It comes up a lot of times nowadays. You have Shluchim, for example, where people who run Chabad houses deal with these kinds of dinim on a daily basis. For example, you have the question, one of the issues involving Lifneiver is somebody comes to your table. Are you allowed to give him food when you know he's not going to make a bracha? Can you give him bread when you know he's not going to wash his hands?
Yeah.
So actually, yeah. Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva about it, where he offers various rationales to be lenient on it. One of them is yes, in order to bring them close to Yiddishkeit. Because otherwise, you're just going to turn them over.
So that's us putting sign on people.
That the children is a different thing. I don't understand. Tefillin, you're not causing any, you're not doing the Seyeh, you're not helping them do an Aveira, just the opposite. We're talking about over here, for example, giving them food where they're not necessarily going to make a bracha on it.
Yeah,
but it's not the same thing at all. But there's different arguments. There's different arguments.
Isn't just a simple answer that you don't know?
Completely, if you don't, you're not necessarily, you're not actually literally putting the food into your mouth, into their mouth, you're just making it available to them.
Giving them kosher food, they would eat right.
But you also don't know that they're not going to make a bracha. Like maybe they will.
And on top of that, also the whole matter of brachas is only drabanan, and you do have There's also a machloikas anyway. Whether the whole concept of lifnei iver and nesayeya applies to drabanans anyway. So there's that consideration also.
Rabbi, can't you just say simply that you don't know that maybe they will make a bracha? It's not Messiah, because there's no definite.
Well, also, obviously, if you don't know for sure whether they'll make a bracha, that's another consideration also, right?
And you can never know, really.
Well, there is that. Yeah, there is that, especially with Tinochus Shanishku. Yeah.
Maybe not know, but you can anticipate.
Maybe, maybe not. All right, let's go on with the Gemara. Okay. Iboilahu. Now we have another question. Okay, so we're saying in our Mishnah that 3 days before Goyisha holiday, you're not allowed to do business with them. What if you did? I should mention, by the way, just to complete the previous discussion, when the Gemara started out asking whether the reason for these dinim in our Mishnah is because of Harvacha or because of Lifnei Iver, the Rambam points out that primarily the question is about doing business with them. Like we said, that you're not allowed losses for losses. You're not allowed to do business with them. The other things that the Mishnah mentioned about, for example, lending them and borrowing them and being paid back and paying them back or whatever, there's no question. It's a matter of harvacha. It's a matter of that we're concerned they're going to go thank their getchkin. Okay. So now, Iboilahu, now we have another question. What if, after all, somebody did go and do business with a goy during this time that's also? Is he allowed to have hanah from the proceeds? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nosav Anosan Osir. Rish Lakish Amar Nosav Anosan Mutter. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's Osir to have Hanah from that merchandise or whatever. Rish Lakish says it's Mutter. You have to throw it away. Eisvei Rav Yechanan l'Rishlokish. So Rav Yechanan asked l'Rishlokish, how can you say it's mutter? A brayta says a day and shall over to chalim nasav and nasin asurim. A brayta says that if you do business with them on their holiday, then if you do business with them, the proceeds are awesome.
Nasav
and nasin is the proceeds. No, nasav and means the business. You did business deal with them. Again, what kind of business deal we're talking about is subject to what we discussed at the beginning of the sector. If it means only selling, or it means maybe even only selling certain items or whatever. But the point is, if you were over on this, then we're saying it's awesome. My love lifnei aday. Bechura, says Rabbi Yechanan, doesn't that mean not only on the holiday itself, it means the whole period, which is also because of the holiday, including the 3 days before? And the answer is no, aday and davka. No, it means specifically on the holiday itself. On the holiday itself, there's much more concern that he's now going to go and thank his getchka or whatever, and therefore, or if it was an object that he still on the holiday, so it would be also on the holiday itself. Rish Lakish can still argue that it means that if you did business on the 3 days before, it was also what you could do, but the proceeds are still, hold on, what the halacha is like, we'll get to soon. Okay. Okay, so now Ikadamri, or another version, is that it was the other way around. That the second version, it was Rish Lakish who used this braisa to act on Rav Yechanan. The braisa says, a day and shall over to Kachavim Nasav and Nasav Nasav. It says, on the festivals of the Goyim, if you did business with them, it's also implying, says Rish Lakish, a day and ain lipnei a day and loy, implying only if it was on their holiday, but not beforehand. Even though it's also to do, for sure, but it doesn't make the proceeds also. The answer is loy. Rabbi Yechon can answer loy. No, tana, aidi ba'aidi, a day in kori loy. No, the tana of the braisa is including the 3 days before, as well as the aid itself. He's using the catch-all term a day and to mean that whole period. The whole period of the 3 days plus the holiday itself is all under the term a day. Okay. So no proof one way or the other from that. However, Tanya Kavasei de Rish Lakish, we learn a braisa that agrees with Rish Lakish. The braisa says, "Ksha'amru osur lofeis v'lofeis imahem," when the Chachamim said that it's also to do business with the Goyim during this period. Loy osur ela b'davar amiskayim. First of all, it only applies to things that last, things that will still be in existence on the day of the aid, because Rashi says what happens, so you sell this object to them, for example, 3 days before the Chagah, what's going to happen? It's still available to them, it's still intact on the day of the Chagah, and they're going to be happy about it and go thank their Getchka. But it doesn't apply to things that don't last, for example, vegetables. So vegetables, for example, you'd be allowed to sell them vegetables 3 days before the Chagah because it's not really going to be in existence before refrigeration. It's not going to keep for three days. They're not going to have it around on the Chagah and be happy about it. Or some of the other Mepharshim learn that the point is that things that don't last are not considered important enough in the guy's eyes that he should be happy about it enough to go thank his getchka that he got a good deal on vegetables, let's say.
Even if it's still around,
right?
Not strictly related to that, but are you allowed to buy a church from a goy and in order to build something else?
It's not directly related to this, but that's a whole different question. I mean, you can ask the question, are you allowed to take a church and turn it into a shul? And I can tell you there are Chabad houses in this country, for example. The Chabad house in Omaha, for example, is exactly that. It's a former church that they bought and then gutted out and then made it into a shul. So you have something else. I don't know. You have poskim discuss the pros and cons of it. You have poskim who have problems with that kind of thing. But the consensus, a lot of poskim do allow it. And yeah. Anyway. Now, the key part, the reason why we're quoting this price, even if it is something that lasts, even if it's something that's still going to be in existence on the day of the Chagah, nosav and nosav mutter. Nevertheless, if you did such business, it's mutter. So therefore, that proves Rish Lakish's point, that you did do business, you weren't allowed to do it, but for the Eved, the proceeds are mutter. Then Rav Zvid taught a braisa that was originally arranged by the yeshiva of Rav Oshia. Rashi points out the famous thing that we know Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia composed a large collection of braisas. The basis of it became what we have now as the Tosefta. So Rav Zvid is teaching a braisa from that collection. Something that doesn't last, you're allowed to sell them, but you're not allowed to buy from them. because when you buy something like that, like vegetables, for example, just the opposite. You're causing them enjoyment because look at this. I had vegetables that would have spoiled, and now I was able to sell them, and now I have money which lasts, and therefore, yeah, and therefore you have Havracha that he's going to go thank his Getchke. The relationship between these two brises is a little bit controversial among the Rishonim. Rashi learns that what it's saying is that when we had the first brisa that said you're not allowed to do business with them, we said only Dava Miskayim, but not Dava Sheinim Miskayim. That it's modified by the second brisa that it means that something that even something that's Miskayim, you're just not allowed to sell them, but you are allowed to buy from them. And then the second brisa goes on to say, and then in the second brisa goes on to talk about the details of a Dava Sheinim Miskayim that you're not allowed to buy from them. Whereas many of the other Rishonim understand that what it means is the first Braita is saying as an absolute statement, a Dover HaMiskayim, you're not allowed to sell or buy from them, and a Dover Shein HaMiskayim, you're allowed to sell them during the 3 days before, but you're not allowed to buy from them. So two different ways of understanding the relationship between the Braitas. So anyway, the point is that whatever it is, though, the fact that the first Braita says that if he did such business, the proceeds are mutter, that proves the Shlokish's point. Now, you're asking who the Halacha is like. So, Tosfos says, usually, on the face of it, we have a braisa like Rish Lakish, the halacha ought to be like him. However, Tosfos says, the fact is, we have a list elsewhere in Shas, in Yevamos, of the places where the halacha is like Rish Lakish against Rabbi Yechanan. Usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan against Rish Lakish. This thing over here is not one of those. Therefore, Tosfos says, must be the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. Tosfos says the halacha must be like Rabbi Yechanan because this is not one of there's only three cases that there's not one of the ones.
Where the halacha is like Rish Lakish.
However, many of the Rishonim, including the Rif and the Rambam and others, paskin like Rish Lakish on the basis that, after all, the Gemara did bring a Braisa which supports him, and that is how the halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So you were over and you sold and did business with a goy during the 3 days before his chaga, the proceeds are mutter b'diyeh. If you did on the day of the Chaga itself, that we said even Rish Lakish would agree on. Yes, so it comes out there as a fourth case. Okay. So first of all, I mean, you have a rule. You might have mentioned in a few places, aim lemaidin but not klolus, that you can't deduce anything from general rules, even when it says chutz, even when you have exceptions, there can always be more exceptions. You could say that maybe those three cases are ones where you don't have a braisa supporting him. This is a separate case because the only reason the halachas like him is because of the braisa. Whatever. Okay. Tosfos also, by the way, Tosfos explains about the second braisa. When we say ein loichin mehen, Tosfos has an understanding that b'chlal. Again, we said at the beginning of the Masechta that Rabbeinu Tam understands that in general there's no issue on buying things from goyim. The only thing is selling them things because they can use them in their worship or whatever. So therefore, Tosfos would understand that loichin would have to mean getting a present from them. So therefore, in other words, you would not be allowed to get a present from them, whether it's a dover or a miskayim or not, because as the Gemara is going to say now, the guy enjoyed the fact that you, an important person, were willing to accept the present from him. So therefore, but as far as buying from them, that would be mutter in general. Okay. So the Gemara tells, Hahu minah, there was a certain min, a guy apparently. An Ovid Avodah Zarah. Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of times the censor is messed around with the words in the Gemara over here. Minah is not necessarily the original word over here. It could have been Ovid Avodah Zarah. It could have been whatever. Whatever, that's what he was. He was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, anyway. Yeshadala dinra kesar na'a, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya b'yem Edo. He sent a dinra kesar na'a to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya on his holiday. What is a dinra kesar na'a? Rashi says, kesar na'a means of the emperor. The emperor, the new emperor at that time, had issued new coinage and announced that the previous coins are disqualified. They're no longer to be used. So only the new coinage is to be used. They did that sometimes when, you know, let's say you have, you know, imagine you have it during that period, there were a lot of Roman emperors who assassinated the previous one and then took over, whatever. So they'd want to announce that all the ones that have the previous emperor's portrait are all no longer, you know.
Exchange those coins?
Because on our currency, we only have dead presidents.
Yeah, true. But in those times, they had the picture of the actual reigning emperor. But yeah, so sometimes they might have that for political reasons. They want to have the memory of the previous emperor wiped out. Okay, so whatever it was. So now this is like an important. It's kind of like an important gift. It's like a newly, freshly minted coin and all. Yeah. So, and it was on his holiday. So what do you do? What do we do about the fact that you're not supposed to be getting presents from them because the goy is going to be happy and go thank his getchka for it? So the Shlokish was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya over here, by the way, is not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was alive when Rabbi Shlokish was a little kid. Rabbi Shlokish was apparently a little kid, or maybe not even born yet when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi passed away. This is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Either there were a couple of there were several generations after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, they kept on alternating back and forth for several generations between Yehudas and Gamliel. You had Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, had a son Rabbi Gamliel, who had a son Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, It went like that. Those names ran in the family. So the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya over here could either be, some people say it's the first one who was the grandson of Rebbe. Some people say it was the next one, two generations after that. Whatever it is, the Rish Lakish is sitting over there. Amar, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, Heichi Evid, what should I do as far as this gift that this goy wants to give me? Eshkale, should I take it from him? Can't. Ozul Moida, he's going to go thank his getchka for that he's pleased with the fact that look at this, a yid, an important yid like Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya needs me and accepted a gift from me. Loy Eshkale, should I not take it from him? Hadila Eva, then there's going to be a problem of Eva. That the goy is going to create hatred between the goyim and the yidden, and that can have consequences.
You didn't get it here. You told him it's on the way.
What? Yeah, apparently not. Yeah, apparently the goy came to the door with the dinner, and while he's waiting over there, while the servant brought him in, I guess, and you know, gave him a drink or whatever. And meanwhile, Rabbi Nasiya goes to his office to talk it over with Rish Lakish. I don't know. So then there's going to be Abel. Yeah. By the way, Tosfos talks about at the beginning of the Masechta. We're not necessarily saying that because Eva would be a valid reason to take it. Tosfos does discuss over there the question whether Eva was a good enough reason to be makir these dinim that we're talking about over here and be able to do business with goyim on and before their chagas. Not necessarily, Tosfos says, on the basis of the Gemara, can you say that's a valid reason? All Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya may be asking is, how do I avoid taking it without creating Eva?
Because it has an halachic basis.
No, in other words, there's two different ways. You could understand Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya to be saying, if I don't take it, there will be Eva, therefore I should be allowed to take it. Or is he just saying, practically speaking, I know I should refuse it. How do I refuse it in a way that won't create Eva?
Either way, you involve Eva.
Okay, but there's a difference. In other words, there's one way of looking at it is that Eva allows you to take it. The other way is that Eva is just, you have to find a way to work around the Eva and still not take it. Amalei Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish answers him, what you should do is, Tol uzroik oisir lebor b'fanav. Take it, but then, relax. Take it and throw it into a pit in front of him. That'll make the Eva even worse.
Yeah.
The answer is, Kalacha Yad Udukam. Rish Lakish says, I mean Kalacha Yad. You take it from him, and then by mistake, accidentally you drop it. So that way, on the one hand, you didn't create Eva. On the other hand, the goy is not going to be so happy as to go thank his getch, because he's going to be upset. Look at this. The present got lost. He's not going to blame you for it. He's going to think you accidentally fat-fingered it and dropped it. But,
stupid.
You know what? We're not necessarily talking a smart goy. The Rambam, in fact, says, if you have no way around it, you are allowed to take it from him. However, you shouldn't have hana from it. Later on, after he's gone, then you dispose of it. Yeah. Okay, so then, yeah. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Lashilon v'lishon le'anchol, we said that one of the things you're not allowed to do before the 3 days before the chagas is to lend them objects and to borrow objects from them. In English, we use the word lending and borrowing, whether we're talking about money or food or whatever, which gets used up and you return an equivalent amount of the same thing, or whether we're talking about, you know, you say the same thing, you're borrowing a loaf of bread or you're borrowing a car, even though in one case you don't return the same loaf of bread, and in the other case, hopefully, you return the same car. But in Hebrew, you have different words for those. Lending objects where you're going to get back the same thing is called hash'ala. Lending back things where you get the equivalent thing back is called halva. So you malvah somebody a loaf of bread or 100 bucks or whatever, you mashil him your car. Okay.
What about if you rent the car?
That would be just a serious stuff, a different thing. You mashil him your car. Okay. So. What? Yeah, the difference is in one case he's giving back the same car, in the other case he's not giving back the same 100 bucks. So, v'shleim ala hash'ilon, I can understand why you're not allowed to lend them objects, like your car, before their chagas, because we just said before that one reason why you're not allowed to do these is because of harvacha, because the goy is going to be happy with it and go thank his getchka. Aval lishol mehen, What's the problem with borrowing something from them? I don't know if you're taking away something from them. What are they going to be so happy about? Abaya says, that's true. But you make a gzera, the Chachamim made a gzera, that you should not borrow things from them, because you may come to lend things, you may come to lend them things as well. If you borrow something from them, first of all, you may confuse it. You may think if I'm allowed to borrow from them, then they're allowed to borrow from me. Second of all, practically speaking, if you lend him your car 1 week, for example, then you can't really get away, or the other way around. If you borrow his car 1 week, you can't really get away with not lending him your car next week. So that really issue. Tosfos points out that even Abaya would agree there has to be a certain simcha involved.
So what did the Jews in the Middle Ages do just that?
So again, we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, the various heterim. We talked about the long Tosfos over there about what the various heterim are. Is it because the Goyim nowadays are not so addicted to Avodah Zarah that they're going to go right away and thank their Getchke? Many times, for example, it's just going to be they're going to be davening, they're going to be thanking their saints or whatever. Fine, but the saints aren't Avodah Zarah in and of themselves. I don't know about the Rothschild. Tosfos discusses a number of things. Again, that first of all, many of their holidays have to do with their saints rather than with their actual getchkes. Then you have their goyim and chutzla artists are not such fruma over the Avodah Zarah. The Tosfos brings up the possibility of Ava, but says that that's not really a valid reason. There's what is it exactly that you're not allowed to do with them anyway? What kind of objects are we primarily talking about? Objects that they can use for their worship, or are we talking about other objects as well?
Why Tosfos doesn't say simply, since they did not have any other kind of panasa, then it's mutar.
So Tosfos doesn't mention that point, but other Rishonim do. That yes, we live among
that's
the goyim, so that is a very important. The fact of the matter is, it is a point. Tosfos doesn't mention it, but yes, other Rishonim do talk about that. That the dinim in our Mishnah are geared to a society which is mostly Jews, and you have some goyim among them, so therefore it's easy to avoid doing business with them certain times of year.
But
we live as a minority among the goyim, so therefore it's not yet.
What about Rashi, who used to sell wine to?
First of all, it's not so clear that Rashi sold wine. They say that he did. I don't know. There's a major tradition. There's a lot of major traditions. What they have to be soimach on isn't necessarily so simple.
What's wrong with sold wine?
Yeah, presumably because you're asking to be sold to goyim as well.
To the king, they say.
Let's say, okay, fine. So they drank wine. Not necessarily were they using it. I mean, they use it in their church rituals. First of all, you can ask the question, again, if one's in the Me'iri, Christianity is not a Avodah Zarah at all. But even if you don't accept what the Me'iri is saying, he says it's a Avodah Zarah for Jews, not for goyim, whatever. But even if you don't accept that position, even if you say, like the Rambam says, that goyim are over to Avodah Zarah, is their wine, is it used for an actual Avodah Zarah ritual? I mean, they're drinking it over there, you know, it is a ritual of theirs, but it's not like they're pouring it in front of the guest.
Again, the answer to this is, yeah, but according to what we know, they forced him to do that, and there was no...
Anybody forced anybody?
No, known
tradition. I don't know where this known tradition comes from. I never heard
of it. Robert Gould will give us the sources.
Okay. All right, let's go on with it. So Abaya says you're not allowed to lend them, you're not allowed to borrow things from them because you may come to lend them. Rava says the whole thing is because they may go thank their Kitschka. Like this, if you lend them something, they're happy that now they have it in their possession. And if you borrow something from them, then they're happy that you need them. Same thing, while voice of Belovus, man. We said in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to lend them money or food or whatever, or to borrow from them during these 3 days. Again, the Shlema Lahal voice of Mishnah Kamalahu. I can understand you're not allowed to lend them food or money. Why you're not allowed to borrow money from them? I'm afraid that you're taking away money from them. Again, I'm going to buy Xer Lilvus Mehen Altalavoisam. So again, Abaya says it's one because you're not allowed one because you may come to do the other. Rava Amar Kulam Mishum to Ozal Amoidahu, and Rava says it's all because he may go thank his Getchke. We'll see. The Gemara is going to talk about soon why we need all three cases to be told to us. But So the third one also, the Poron of the Shroya Manful, the third one we said in the Mishnah is, you're not allowed to pay them back a loan or to have them pay back. So again, Mishlem Lepur, and I can understand you're not allowed to pay them back. Mishlem to come Marva Fahu, because you're giving them a benefit. They now have more money, which they can go thank their get you the for. What? If they're paying ribbis is a whole other issue, because then you could argue if you're lending them at ribbis, and actually this ties in with what you were asking just now, if you're lending them at ribbis, they may not be so happy about it because they know there's a lot of ribbis involved. They know they're gonna lose their shirt. But okay, that's a different matter. Here we're not necessarily talking about involving ribbis. But why you're not allowed to have them pay back, you're causing them to lose money. So again, Omar Abaye Xer Lefroy Mehen Otulaparam. So again, Abaye says for the third time that you're not allowed to pay them back because you may come to pay them back. Either because you may confuse them, or again because if you do one, then inevitably they're gonna require you to do the other. Rava Amar Kulam Shem Da'azulamayduhu, and Rava says in all the cases because they may be happy about it and go thank their getchbet. So again, Tosfos points out that even according to Abaye, you do have to say that the matter of simcha, the matter of harvacha, does factor into it. If it's something that has no harvacha at all, then Abaye wouldn't just say that you do one as a gzera because of the other. However, Abaye doesn't consider that the main purpose. He considers the main purpose. He's saying that the main thing, the main reason why, for example, you're not allowed to make them pay back or whatever, is because you may confuse it with the other one, or you may come to do the other one. Whereas Rava is saying the matter of simcha, the matter of the guy is going to be happy, and harvacha, that's the only reason. Okay, so the Gemara says it's tzrichi. We need all these three statements in the Mishnah, and therefore all these three machlokes in Abaye and Rava. The itana loses for loses imahin, because if the Mishnah only mentioned the first thing, they're not allowed to do business with them, buy and sell to them. You would say the reason is mishum de kamar vachlu. Again, because like we said before, you're giving them they gain a profit from it. They gain a profit. Va'ozel moida, and then they go thank their getchke.
Even if they're not getting a problem, they're getting money into their hands.
Right, they're getting money into their hands, they're getting an object, they're getting a shiny new object, which I like, right. Right, Myrach doesn't necessarily mean a harvacha as in a profit. It means that they have something to be happy about to go thank the
end. Basically.
Yeah. Avalisho mehen, but you could argue if the Mishnah had not mentioned that you're not allowed to borrow objects from them, you would say maybe you should be allowed to, or to come a Myrach, because you're taking away something from their possession. Maybe shatru dami, maybe that should be permitted. The eternal lishal man. On the other hand, if we only had that one about borrowing, you would say mishum de chashiva le milsa, because the goy considers it now something important. Look at this. This yid has to borrow my car, and he's going to give back my actual car, so I'm happy about it. The ozel moida. So therefore, we'll go thank his getchke. Aval lilvis man. But you could argue that borrowing money from them, you could argue side of alma islay. Maybe the goy doesn't have such pleasure from it. Maybe he has a certain degree of tsar. Omar tuv lehadri zuzi, because he's thinking to himself, I'm never going to see this particular money again. He's going to see other money, but it's not necessarily the same thing. So therefore, the Mishnah had to mention all those three. On the other hand, the itana lilvis man, but if it only mentioned that you're not allowed to borrow from them, Mishnah, fine, to borrow money, that is, fine, you could say Mishnah to call him about korchem iparayna. Because you could say, okay, the guy can figure to himself, okay, but you know what? One way or the other, I am going to get my money back. If the yid doesn't want to pay me back, I'll take him to court. I will see my money again. Therefore, you can argue that now the guy is going to be happy about knowing that in the future he will see this money back, and right now he's happy the yid needs me. He had to borrow money from me. So therefore, he goes and thanks. But you could argue to have the guy pay you back the tulay hadrizuzi, where therefore he's never going to see that money again because he had it. He had it in his possession all this time. Now he's being forced to pay it back. You would think that's only tsar, and he might not go and thank his getchke. Therefore, we need that case also because, as the Chachamim point out, Rabbi Huda argues in the Mishnah that you can have the goy pay you back because it's tsar. But the Chachamim answers, yes, but after all, once he's free of the loan, once he's free of the debt, then he's going to be happy and yes.
We mentioned in the Mishnah.
In the Mishnah, we mentioned it. Okay. So then, Rabbi Huda Omer Nifroi Man Chola. We say in the Mishnah that Rabbi Huda says you are allowed to have him pay you back because of the tzar, and the Chachamim answer that no, but it's Sameach Ulaachas Man. He's going to be happy later on. So the question is, Leslie, the Rabbi Huda Afapishan Meitzer Achshav Sameach Ulaachas Man. Are you telling me Rabbi Huda does not agree with this concept that something which you might be upset about now, but it's going to bring joy later? That we don't look at the later joy. But we learn in a braisa in a whole different connection, in connection with the dinim of Kalamoyed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Isha l'tosad b'mayed. Rabbi Yehuda says that a woman is not allowed to apply plaster to her face on Chol HaMoed. They used to put on plaster to help remove unwanted hair and to make the face and to make the skin to give the skin a reddish color, a healthy glow, whatever. So they would put on plaster for a while. Sort of like nowadays, people put on mud, whatever, you know. So they'd put on plaster and leave it on there for a while and eventually peel it off. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to put on such plaster on Chol HaMoed. It's nation nivul hula, because it makes her look unattractive. Even though it's true later on, you take it off, it looks nice. But since that hana only takes place after Chol HaMoed, so during Chol HaMoed, you still look menuvel. But umoyde Rabbi Yehuda, but here's the key point. Rabbi Yehuda does agree. If it's a kind of treatment that will be able to be removed during Chol HaMoed itself, so let's say she puts on the plaster the first day of Chol HaMoed, and let's say it's a 5 or 6 day long Chol HaMoed, like Chol HaMoed surface, and therefore there'll be enough time before the end of Chol HaMoed to take off the plaster, so that the results of it will be available. She won't look unattractive anymore. Then Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's allowed. She takes out to the Moed. She's allowed to put it on at the beginning of Chol HaMoed. Because even though it's upsetting now, because she looks unattractive now, she's happy later on during Chol HaMoed. So we see Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that concept that you go according to the result. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say differently in our Mishnah? The point is, we see the same kind of concept. The point is, you're not allowed to do something during Chol HaMoed that you're not going to look attractive with covered yamzer. Because in general, you're allowed to do certain malachas during Chol HaMoed, where it's for Tzorah HaMoed, where it's for the need of Yom Tov itself. Like this, it's not for the need of Yom Tov, because you're not going to be peeling it off. If you're not going to be peeling it off until after Chol HaMoed, then it comes out. You're doing a malacha on Chol HaMoed for the sake of after Chol HaMoed, and you can't do that. Yeah. So anyway, so we see that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Simcha Smecha Hilachas Man is a valid concept. The answer is Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Hanach Lehilchas Moed. Okay, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, never mind the halachas of Chol HaMoed, Dekulu Meitzah Achshav Simcha Lachas Man, because the whole basis of what's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, the various malachas that you're allowed to do, is things where there's Tzara right at the beginning, that it's a hard work, for example, shechting or preparing a meal or whatever, but it's allowed because of the Simcha later during Chol HaMoed. So therefore, Chol HaMoed, the whole dinim are based on that. So he holds that by Chol HaMoed. He doesn't necessarily hold that by other things. Yeah. Ravina Omar, Ovid Kachavim, Le'inyan Peroim, Le'olam Meitzer. Ravina gives a different answer. When it comes to a guy paying off, there's always Meitzer. Rabbi Yehuda holds, there's always going to be Meitzer. There's always going to be that he feels bad about it, the fact that he has to pay it off. Because he figures, you know what, I could have gotten out of it. On the side of it, he brings a quote to Rashi, from Rashi Ksaviyad, on Moed Katan, Shadaita Litrek Veligzo. He had in mind to grab it, to steal it, or whatever. He figured he would have been able to evade it somehow or other. So like this, he's made to pay it back, Rabbi Yehuda holds, then there's only Meso. There's no Simcha afterwards, you know? There's no simcha afterwards that, look, I'm free of the debt. Because he always figures to himself, you know what, I would have had some extra legal means of getting rid of this debt. Says Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says there is no simcha. The maitzer is, there's only maitzer. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara points out, Masnissin b'loik Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, our Mishnah apparently is not like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, I'm a milva b'shar ein nifra in the hand. Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha says, when it comes to a loan that's written with a shtar, you can't have them pay back before their holidays because of the simcha again. Milval pen if roin mehen, but when it comes to a verbal loan, that you're allowed to have them pay back and pay shul kamasul miyadim, because that's like saving it from their hands. Because like this, you don't have a shtar, you don't have any evidence of a loan, so therefore you're going to lose it entirely. So therefore, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha says you're allowed to have him pay back. You're going to cause him simcha, and he might go be ozel b'moyder, that he's going to go thank his geshka. Okay, but you have no choice, because otherwise you may end up forfeiting the loan altogether.
So we're saying that.
So that's Rabbi Shulban Karcha. So our Mishnah did not make that distinction. So our Mishnah evidently is not like Rabbi Shulban Karcha. Now, is the halacha like him? That we'll deal with tomorrow. That's the Shem, yeah.